นี่แหละอิตาภานิบะยะชะตังอิหานิสเสยโสทยังภะคะวัตติอัจฉโลภาวังยัตถะภะคะวัตตสังกตังเอตาวันเอวยัจฉตังอิหานิสเสยโสทยังภะคะวัตติอัจฉโลภาวังยัตภาควตสังกตาเอตาวันเอวยัจฉตังอิหานิสเสยโสทยังภะคะวัตติอัจฉโลภาวังยัตภาควตสังกตา
เอตาวันเอวยัจฉตัง
different kinds of worshippers. Eva, certainly, yajatam, while worshipping, iha, in this life, nishreyasa, the highest benediction, udayaha, development. Bhagavati unto the Supreme Personality of God. Achala unflinching. Bhava spontaneous attraction. Yat which Bhagavata the pure devotee of the Lord. Sangata, association, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, all the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord, Purport. All living entities in different statuses of life within the material creation, beginning from the first demigod, Brahma, down to the small ant, are conditioned under the law of material nature or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. The living entity in its pure state is conscious of the fact that he is a part and parcel of the Lord. But when he is thrown into the material world on account of his desire to lord it over material energy, he becomes conditioned by the three modes of material nature and thus struggles for existence for the highest benefit. This struggle for existence is something like following the will of the wisp under the spell of material enjoyment. All plans for material enjoyment, either by worship of different demigods, as described in the previous verses of this chapter, or by modernized advancement of scientific knowledge without the help of God or demigod, are illusory only. For despite all such plans for happiness, the conditioned living being within the compass of material creation can never solve the problems of life, namely birth, death, old age and disease. The history of the universe is full of such plan makers, and many kings and emperors come and go, leaving a plan-making story only. But the prime problems of life remain unsolved despite all endeavors by such plan-makers. Actually, human life is meant for making a solution to the problems of life. One can never solve such problems by satisfying the different demigods, by different modes of worship, or by so-called scientific advancement in knowledge without the help of God or the demigods. Apart from the gross materialists who care very little either for God or for the demigods, the Vedas recommend worship of different demigods for different benefits. And so the demigods are neither false nor imaginary. The demigods are as factual as we are, but they are much more powerful due to their being engaged in the direct service of the Lord, in managing different departments in the universal government. The Bhagavad Gita affirms this, and the different planets of the demigods are mentioned there, including the one of the supreme demigod, Lord Brahma. The gross materialists do not believe in the existence of God or the demigods, nor do they believe that different planets are dominated by different demigods. They are creating a great commotion about reaching the closest celestial body, Chandraloka, or the moon. But even after much mechanical research, they have only very scanty information of this moon. And in spite of much false advertisement for selling land on the moon, the puffed up scientists or gross materialists cannot live there. And what to speak of reaching the other planets, which they are unable even to count. However, the followers of the Vedas have a different method of acquiring knowledge. They accept the statements of the Vedic literatures as authority in toto, as we have already discussed in Canto 1, and therefore they have full and reasonable knowledge of God and demigods and of their different residential planets situated within the compass of the material world and beyond the limit of the material sky. The most authentic Vedic literature accepted by the great Indian acharyas like Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnuswami, Nimbarka, and Chaitanya, and studied by all important personalities of the world, is the Bhagavad Gita, in which the worship of the demigods and their respective residential planets are mentioned. The Bhagavad Gita 9.25 affirms, Yanti Deva Vrata Deva Pitru Yanti Pitru Vrata Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja Yanti Madhya Jino Pimam. The worshippers of demigods reach the respective planets of the demigods, and the worshippers of forefathers reach the planets of the forefathers. The gross materialist remains in the different material planets, but the devotees of the Lord reach the kingdom of God. We also have information from the Bhagavad Gita that all the planets within the material world, including Brahmaloka, are but temporarily situated, and after a fixed period, they are all annihilated. Therefore, the demigods and their followers are all annihilated at a period of devastation. But one who reaches the kingdom of God gets a permanent share in eternal life. That is the verdict of Vedic literature. The worshippers of demigods have one facility more than the unbelievers due to their being convinced of the Vedic version, by which they can get information of the benefit of worshipping the Supreme Lord in the association of the devotees of the Lord. The gross materialist, however, without any faith in the Vedic version, remains eternally in darkness, driven by a false conviction on the basis of imperfect experimental knowledge or so-called material science, which can never reach into the realm of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, unless the gross materialist or the worshippers of the temporary demigods come in contact with a transcendentalist like the pure devotee of the Lord, their attempts are simply a waste of energy. Only by the grace of the divine personalities, the pure devotees of the Lord, can one achieve pure devotion, which is the highest perfection of human life. Only a pure devotee of the Lord can show one the right way of progressive life. Otherwise, both the materialistic way of life, without any information of God or the demigods, and a life engaged in the worship of demigods in pursuit of temporary material enjoyments, are different phases of phantasmagoria. They are nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita also. But the Bhagavad Gita can be understood in the association of pure devotees only, and not by interpretations of politicians or dry philosophical speculators. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantakam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namana Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharu Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatradeshutarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pratayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు బంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీపాదాది గౌరవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే. So welcome everyone for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So here in this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the importance of pure devotional service. And before that, he gave a very long list of worshipping many different demigods for material desires. And in this shloka, he is explaining the importance of association of the Lord, association with the pure devotees of the Lord, and which is very, very important, because the previous list of worshipping many demigods for many material benefits, Supreme Lord also knows that the conditioned living entities have a lot of material desires, and therefore he has created all these different demigods. Just so that the living entity fulfills those material desires and then thinks about the higher goal of life. That is the original purpose of Lord's creation. Lord has created this material world. This has a purpose. It is not for just material enjoyment. Sometimes people think that this material world is meant for our enjoyment and we should live happy, earn money, and enjoy. That is the one way of looking at the material world. The Supreme Lord has a higher purpose for everything. He knows that conditioned living entities have those desires, and we can see how he is so kind that even to fulfill those material desires, he has appointed so many demigods. This list was like a menu card. If you want to eat a particular item, You go in the restaurant and look at the list. And then you order, I want this pizza or dosa or whatever various sweets or dessert. And the person comes and gives that. As long as you have money, you have to pay the money. It's not that it's everything is free there. So similarly, when somebody wants to enjoy material world, fulfill material desires, then there are different demigods appointed. And one has to have pious credits. Without pious credits, one cannot enjoy. One may think that I want to do so many things. I want to become a big person. But if there are no pious credits, then one will not be able to reach to that place. So therefore, pious credits and worshipping of these different demigods has been recommended. Those who have desires, they have to go through that process. And those who are completely freed from all these various types of material desires, for them, the highest path has been given, worshipping the Supreme Personality of God. Because He will not fulfill your material desires. Sometimes He may do also. Just to encourage you that continue the process. Don't give up. Right? Otherwise, if everything is taken away very quickly in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, one may leave the process. One may think that, oh, Krishna is really working in my life. He's taking away everything from me. I don't want Krishna's supreme mercy. I want Krishna's mercy. That Krishna gives things and I'm happy. But when Krishna's supreme mercy means, He starts taking away everything from me. I don't want that too easily, too quickly. So, Krishna reciprocates exactly according to our desires. He does not interfere. He gives complete freedom. You have material desires, okay, you worship these demigods. Even after coming to the path of Krishna consciousness, one may have so many desires, material desires, and one may be struggling within that whether this is proper or not, whether did I come to Krishna consciousness too early, I should have been there in material world for some more time and then afterwards I should have come. So many thought processes. One goes through various different types of thoughts. And one should know that one has to take the process more seriously. One should not think that, again, let me go back in the material world. This process is a little difficult. And Krishna is so kind. He has appointed so many demigods. So many, somebody says 33 crores of demigods, thousands, millions, crores of demigods. For every small desire to fulfill, there is some particular demigod. Just like in the material world also, we may have this experience. We want to eat particular item which is available in a specific restaurant. And it is just sufficient or just adequate to fulfill our material desire of satisfying the tongue. So what our mind gets tuned to is that it will look for that place, that restaurant, where that particular item is served at a particular time. Everything is getting completely focused on that desire. And when we really want it, we start seeing that item everywhere. When will I get that? When will my work will be over and I go to that place and enjoy that? And for every desire, there is a particular kind of place available. We want to purchase clothes, then there are garment shops. And in that also there are so many varieties. So many different colors, combinations and various types of dresses, ready-made dresses, or you can stitch the dresses just to look nice, just to look beautiful and smart. These are desires, and there are places which fulfill those desires. And that has been all given. Because sometimes these are material necessities which are important. And the Supreme Lord, He is so kind that He sends His representatives to give the message of God, His message. That what is the purpose of life? Why we are in this material world? And how to perfect our life and go back to the eternal home? He sends His one of our representatives, or sometimes He sends His various incarnations, avatars. In fact, every yuga, every millennia, a particular incarnation comes. Every yuga, yuga yuga, sambhavami yuga yuga. So that He gives the message for that particular age, and the common living entities can understand that message and practice that process to perfect life. And in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that there are so many incarnations that they are like waves in the ocean. Just like we have ocean nearby, there are so many waves coming throughout the day. Similarly, in one day of Brahma, there are so many incarnations. And their purpose is to awaken us to the higher purpose of life, higher goal of life. But in spite of all that, conditioned living entity is not ready to accept Krishna's plan. It's so stubborn. And in spite of giving so many facilities and opportunities, still the conditioned soul is looking for material desires, to fulfill the material desires. Even in the amongst association of devotees. So therefore, it's very important to understand the real problem of our life. That it is based on the desire. Everything is based on the desire. If our desire is strong, if his desire is to see the Lord, then we'll see the Lord everywhere. But if our desire is not to see the Lord, we want to see something else, then even the Lord is in front of us, we will not see the Lord. So therefore, what is our consciousness? That is very, very important. And this desire and envy towards the Supreme Lord are the two causes of our existence in this material world. Ichha dvesha samutsena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parampara. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that why we are put in this material world. One is ichha, desire. Dvesha, hatred towards the Supreme Lord. These are two causes of our existence in this material world. These are very serious points actually which Lord Krishna has told in Bhagavad Gita, that why we are existing in this material world. And these are the two main reasons. And we have to work on that. This human form of life is given to work on that. Purify our desires. Purify the tendency of fault finding. Envy towards other living entities. These are very serious things and which are very deep rooted. And they have to be eradicated. They have to be removed. Otherwise, we'll not see Krishna everywhere. We'll see the faults in others. In fact, seeing Krishna everywhere, Krishna also has given a lot of ways to see. In Bhagavad Gita also, he has given so many examples how you can see Krishna everywhere. Srimad Bhagavatam also is not different from Krishna. So when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Shravanam, we should be seeing Krishna. We should be seeing Krishna at every three page, every shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. But if our consciousness is tuned to seeing wrong things or the faults, then we will see the fault finding. And that this tendency of fault finding is very dangerous in spiritual life. And therefore it is strongly condemned. Fault finder or offenses, offender. We should not be committing offenses towards other living entities or Vaishnavas. And therefore, even if we analyze these words, fault finder or offender, means we should have some fear. Offender, become afraid of finding offenses, or fault finder. थोड़ा डरना चाहिए फॉल्ट फाइंडिंग से ऑफेंडर फॉल्ट फाइंडर प्रिटेंडर सो वन शुड हैव फियर ऑफ फाइंडिंग फॉल्ट्स फियर ऑफ ऑफेंडिंग अदर डिवोटीज वन शुड हैव सम फियर अदरवाइज वन बिकम्स वेरी बोल्ड इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस अमंग्स द एसोसिएशन ऑफ डिवोटीज एंड देन even there may be hundreds of good qualities, one will see the bad quality. Just like the example is given, that of a honeybee. Honeybee is just searching for the honey or the fragrance in the flowers. This honeybee will he or she, whatever, they will travel from distant places And to collect one drop of honey, it is said that honeybee has traveled to, has gone to thousands and maybe millions of flowers, just to collect that essence. And to come back to the, we have and store it there. It takes a lot of efforts to create that one drop of honey. And honeybee is searching for that flower where there is that honey. And this honeybee is so sensitive, so kind of alert in trying to understand the fragrance, because their sense of smell is very powerful. They can sense, they can smell anything. And while flying over so many things, there are so many varieties of odors coming. Thousands and thousands of bad odors are coming. But honeybee is completely focused on that odor, that fragrance in that flower where there is honey. It is not getting affected by any other odors, or not even once getting attracted to those kind of odors. So we can understand the focus of this honeybee. So similarly, the devotee should be focused on finding the good qualities in others. There may be hundreds and thousands of bad qualities, and if we look for that, we will find it. So therefore, devotee should be like honeybee searching for the good qualities. And exactly opposite is the fly, or the gutter fly. We can say not butterfly, but gutter fly, which is like in the gutter and sewages and all that. That fly also has a very strong sense of smell. But that fly is searching for that smell which is dirty, foul, pungent, and all the dirty smells, it is just focused on that. And while flying so many varieties of places and gardens where there may be nice flowers, that fly is not getting attracted to any of these flowers. That fly is just focused on that particular piece of dirty, foul thing. And it gets attracted to that by force. And it is just enjoying that, relishing that. So, we can understand the difference between the honeybee and the gutter fly. Honeybee is also moving through the same environment, but it is focused on finding the good fragrance. And that fly is also moving in the same environment, but it is finding the foul substances. So similarly, this material world, there may be so many things in this material world. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, it is said. It is not that there are extremely good qualities. And day by day, Kali Yuga is progressing. And the bad qualities are manifesting more and more. So we can understand how much one has to remain focused on the devotional service, on the good qualities of others. Whatever somebody is doing good, we should try to glorify, magnify, like we have thousands of monks. But if we focus on the wrong things, there may be many bad qualities in a person, and we focus on that, we will see the bad qualities in that person. So therefore, the desires have to be purified. If our desire is to see the good, then automatically we will see the good in everything. But if our desire is focused on seeing the faults in others, seeing the wrong things in others, then even that person has hundreds and thousands of good qualities. We will focus on that one wrong quality or the wrong fault. So this is very, very important, because when somebody comes in the association devotees, or especially the path of Krishna consciousness, somebody has come to this temple. Okay, I will give another example. Now, when you have come from this lane of K. Munshi Maruk, okay, so even in that lane, we will see before we enter, there is some panwala sitting there and selling pan. Somebody wants to enjoy pan, they will go to get attracted to that place. Somebody will go to some other organization. Somebody will go to purchase some medical things and some restaurant and so many things. So many material desires can be fulfilled even within one lane of this temple. Right? But if somebody is focused on coming to Gopinath, I want to come to see darshan of Krishna, I don't want to get distracted by anything else. One is focused. I have to reach Krishna. There may be so many things around me, but my focus should be proper. So then one will neglect, one will see all those things, all those shops and entertainments and everything. But our desire is to reach Krishna. In spite of all distractions, we will reach Krishna. Otherwise, we will get distracted. Maya is there to distract everyone. Maya will not let even devotees to practice bhakti peacefully. We should understand. That is a strong, powerful weapon of material energy to distract, to create some situation in which one will find faults, fault finder, offender. He will go into that space and try to search out wrong things. So therefore, our desires, what are our desires? Is our desire to see Krishna in everywhere, every place? In fact, Kunti Maharani explains in the first verse she offers to Lord Krishna, Namami Purusham Tadyam Ishvara Prakriti Param Alaksha Surubhutanam Antar Bahiravasitam. She is offering prayers to the Supreme Lord Krishna when he was returning back to Dwarka, that I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Lord Krishna, who is Supreme Person, is Ishvara, Parama Krishna. Namami Purusham Tvadyam, you are Adi Purush. You are situated internally and externally, inside and outside, Antar Bahiravasita. Na Lakshasi, Mudadrusha. Still one cannot see Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. Sometimes people say, oh, Krishna is everywhere. Why to go to temple? Krishna is everywhere. He is inside of everyone and everything is Krishna. But still we don't see Krishna. Isn't it a mystery? Because what is our desire? According to our desire, Krishna will reveal. You want to see Krishna, your intense desire, Krishna will manifest everywhere. But if our desire is not there, strong, to see Krishna continuously, permanently, eternally throughout life, mental energy will start distracting. Go away. Go away from what is there in this place. You have a big world outside. Come there. So that is how one has to remain focused. And Srila Prabhupada is so brilliantly explaining in this purport that how these so many demigods have been created to fulfill our material desires. These material desires are like different waves we are sending in the universe, and all these demigods are trying to locate us and give us that fulfillment of desires. And somebody may think that how it is possible that my desire is understood by particular demigod or Lord Krishna. I am sitting here and God is somewhere in the sky. How he understands my desires? How he knows everything perfectly? So a material example we can take is that most of us, we use mobile phones, right? How many of you use mobile phones? Right? More 99%, maybe few of you are not. So mobile phones, everyone has a particular number, right? everyone has a unique number. You cannot have two numbers for the same person, right? Everyone has a unique number. And somebody dials that number, you may be sitting in front of so many thousands of people. Somebody dials your number, you are going to pick up the call. Because it is dialed to you. And sometimes some missed calls also come. That is a different story. Somebody wrong dialing and all. But that number is dialed to you personally. So you will get a phone call. So that frequency will reach to you. There are so many hundreds and thousands of frequencies and numbers and all, so many things in this room. And we can tune to a particular frequency. What we want, mobile apps or whatever. So many internet and so many things we can, sports, politics and so many things on science. One can tune to particular frequency and one will receive that. It will start manifesting there according to our desires. Our desires create that. And then we start visualizing those things. We start seeing those. So the demigods, they fulfill all those desires. They know our, whether we have material desires or spiritual desires. If we have material desires, then there are so many multi-demigods. Prabhupada explains the multi-demigods. So there are thousands and thousands of demigods to fulfill our material desires. And if somebody has a desire to reach to other planet, Srila Prabhupada has brought little scientific angle to this purport. Because sometimes people may think that what is this Krishna consciousness movement? Just sitting and chanting. What is the use of that? What you are going to get? So Prabhupada is explaining that the scientists are trying to reach to moon. Chandrayaan, we have reached to moon, India, right? But what is the purpose? What we will do there? Can we stay there permanently? Are we allowed there? Can we barge into a kingdom of God? Can we just go to any other country and I want to enter and stay in your country? Is it allowed? they will have hundreds of checks. Okay, whether are you qualified, do you have money, whether you are well behaved, you don't have any criminal reports, all the background checks, and so many things will happen just to enter to one another country, right? So many checks and balance, right? Some devotees from US traveled other place. So even to go to any other land, foreign land, there are so many checks and balances. So similarly, go to other planets, there are lots of checks and balances. It is not that we can just enter there and remain there. We can stay there permanently. We'll be sent back. Okay, you go back. If you are not qualified, go back. So Srila Prabhupada explains that even after worshipping so many demigods, one may reach to some moon loka, chandra loka. By pious credits one may go there and remain there for thousands of years. 10,000 years it is explained that one can stay if one goes to moon loka. Heavenly. There is a lot of heavenly pleasure. But what happens afterwards? One will come back again. Chine punyam arte lokam vishanti. As soon as the pious credits are over, one comes down again in this material world. And when this kind of thing was going on in late 60s, when there was moon mission by US, Srila Prabhupada published a book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. And in fact, it's very interesting. It was one of the first books I read, and it just appealed me like anything, that it is so scientifically explained. Srila Prabhupada is so perfectly explaining, as if he's talking to the scientist, trying to explain them that what is this antimatter and antimaterial world. So the two scientists had kind of given their thesis, American atomics researchers. So they said that three assumptions were there, that there is, just like there is a matter, there is a particle of antimatter. Matter is existing and antimatter also is existing. And there is a possibility of antimaterial world. Just like we have this material world, there is an antimaterial world which we cannot see with these eyes, but the antimaterial world is existing. And third assumption was that when these two worlds clash, there will be annihilation. Everything will get destroyed. And these two scientists, they got Nobel Physics Prize for their research in the atomic world. Can you imagine what is the smallest particle of this matter? And in that there is atoms, protons, electrons. And they are researching and they are getting a Nobel Prize. So Srila Prabhupada, he was so eager to give the message of Krishna consciousness that this research is almost already done. Bhagavad Gita has already explained about antimatter or antimaterial particle. And what is that antimaterial particle? That is a soul. Soul is an antimaterial particle in our body. And there is a spiritual world, which scientists may call as an antimaterial world. But the spiritual world remains permanently. It doesn't get destroyed. This material world will get destroyed. All the demigods will get destroyed. Their benedictions will get destroyed. But that spiritual world, parastasmatu bhavan vyakto vyaktasana, yasa sarveshu bhoteshu nashyastu na vinashyati, that spiritual world, that world will not get destroyed. And third assumption was that the clash between these two words and everything get destroyed. Srila Prabhupada strongly disagreed with that. And he very nicely explained the defect in the third point. Because the antimatter, which the scientists have considered that antimatter has a reverse properties, antimatter properties, that is wrong. Because the antimatter has to be exactly opposite of the matter. If the matter is destructible, then the antimatter cannot be destroyed. It is temporary, matter is temporary, that is permanent. So material world may get destroyed, but the spiritual world cannot get destroyed. So therefore, these are very extremely scientific ways Srila Prabhupada explained. And then Srila Prabhupada explains in Easy Journey to Other Planets that many of our scientists, spiritual scientists of course, have gone and come back to the moon. Many of us went and came back also. And chanting, the process of chanting is so powerful, Srila Prabhupada explains, that this chanting process is a means of taking us back to Godhead. This is a scientific process. Because the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not a material sound vibration. It is a spiritual sound vibration. The more we are absorbed in the chanting, we will reach to that spiritual stage. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that how the Krishna consciousness movement is doing a real work of helping everyone to achieve the perfection of their lives by taking us to the eternal place, eternal world, not the temporary material world. Temporary material world will get destroyed. But just by chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, one will go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. I will stop here. Anybody has any questions, they can come and personally meet. Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.